back on the program. All right, Cody, what do you got for me? What's the story of the day?
Oh, well, there's a lot of things you could pick from on a day like today, John. It's Friday, okay. Friday in May, you know. We're talking quarterbacks, the NFL. Talking Wizards. Talking Federer.
Federer comes in as the highest paid athlete of last year. I mean, I thought it was going to be JT Daniels. Like I said, I know he's going to Georgia. I know he talked about it, but it wasn't official until...
Yeah, I forget from day to day.
Until we went off the air. I mean, he did go ahead and say, yeah, I'm going to Georgia. So whether or not he gets cleared for 2020, I saw a common take yesterday was, this is what's going to put Georgia over the hump, national championship.
I don't think it will. But maybe they were an elite quarterback away, there's a lot of teams that could say that, right?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think there are a lot of teams that can say that.
That they were an elite quarterback away from a national title?
Yeah. I don't think that. I don't think that's the case.
Maybe not. Because Alabama had one, Clemson had one, Oklahoma, Ohio State all had one.
Yeah, I think
so.
I was going to say, I think you would be surprised. They would be better, obviously, but no, their college is so much different where the rest of the teams can be just such a wide gap. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe Georgia wouldn't have necessarily won a national championship with an elite quarterback. I don't know. What do you think?
I think if they had Justin Fields last year, they have a better chance at winning a national championship.
They have a better chance, but do you think that would have made them the national championship? I think it's hard to say based on, you know, when several other teams had similar personnel and the good quarterback like Clemson, Bama.
I think it would be more likely that 2 years ago, Justin Fields could have won them a national championship.
Justin Fields 2 years ago?
Yeah, if they had just let him go as a freshman, whether or not he would have got it done, I don't know. But like Fromm, we talked about yesterday, Fromm just had a ceiling. And Fromm was good, and at times he was great, but he was limited. And Fromm kind of got worse as his career went on, right? Did it feel that way with Jake Fromm?
It did. He had a couple of big moments. You know, the SEC championship game against Bama was big for him. But that was the best game I ever saw him play.
I mean, I just feel like Jake Fromm got worse as his career went on. And, you know, they're talking around Georgia that the love for football went away, that he was kind of done with football. But, I mean, if you just look at the numbers, he had a solid freshman year, sophomore year, and then you had junior year. And I understand that the receivers were different, but he had a career low in completion percentage, basically threw for the same amount of yards, six less touchdowns than the year before, just his career low in passer rating. So, I mean, I feel like he had gotten worse. So, his sophomore year maybe was his best, but I think we saw once they went up against good teams, like he just couldn't get them over the hump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just wasn't. He couldn't take that next step. Like, he didn't have that next gear.
And they got close enough. So, I mean, I feel like if you just would have had somebody 10% better, or not even better, just 10% more dynamic, they win a national championship.
Yeah, somebody that could make throws a little bit better,
scramble
or maybe
with
run
his legs,
around a little bit better.
Make a couple plays, just do some things that you can't account for. And whether or not Justin Fields could have done that as a freshman, maybe that is unfair for me to say.
What I was wondering is 2 years, like as a freshman, I don't know that Justin Fields would have done it.
Maybe that's unfair for me to say.
But that team probably was their best hope at getting one.
Building around Justin Fields would have given them a better chance.
Yeah, for sure.
If Justin Fields comes in as a freshman and plays, maybe they don't win it that year, but maybe a sophomore year, they go out and win. Because I feel like he would have been better equipped to have worse receivers. You know what I mean? Like, to not have the same receivers that Georgia had.
Yeah, and that year, too, they kind of just came out of nowhere. You know? Like, I don't think anybody thought that they were going to be as good as they ended up being.
Year two?
That year. Yeah. The Kirby's second year, right?
Okay, Kirby's second year. Not Fromm's second year.
Yeah, I meant Kirby's second
year. 2017.
Because that was the year they went and played Oklahoma, right? In the
Rose Bowl?
In the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that team...
They made the national championship and lost to Alabama. Yeah. No one thought... But that was Fromm's rookie year.
Right. Freshman year. Right. And then the next year is when he had the good performance against Alabama in the SEC championship game.
We also had a good performance against Alabama in the first half of that national championship as a
freshman
as well, yeah.
I don't remember that one as much.
Yeah.
But I just remember being really impressed by the way he played in the... I
mean, that's the one that they were up at halftime, right? That's when Tua had to come in and
save
the day.
That was the one where they beat him on the like 4th and 26 or whatever, wasn't it? Or no, second and 26. Second and 26, yeah.
Yeah, and he dropped a dime.
Yeah, touchdown. Beautiful. Beautiful play.
So a lot of people are saying JT Daniels can be that quarterback that's more dynamic. Now, he's not going to be Justin Fields out there running around, but he gives you just a bigger threat that could do more things, make more throws. He's more talented. Now, whether or not he's clear for 2020, we don't know yet. And I believe it was the guys over at VolQuest this morning that said that it seems as if the NCAA, the thought process around the NCAA this year is that they're not doing the widespread clearance, right? Like the one-time waiver for everybody is not passing this year. They're not doing it this year. But that the thought will be this year, people moving closer to home will get precedence. Right, so like the players who want to go back home. Hey, you want to go home during a pandemic and help around the house? Okay, that's fine. Whether or not that's why you wanted to go back home, whether or not you just wanted a better opportunity or whatever, I don't know how much differentiating they're going to do. The guys at VolQuest said they think that the thought process of the NCAA will be guys going closer to home will get precedent. So a JT Daniels who is moving from California, where he's from, to moving to Georgia, probably not going to get cleared, whereas a Cade Mays who is going from Georgia back to Knoxville, where he lives, has a much, much, much better chance of getting cleared.
Makes total sense. I don't think you should clear JT Daniels. He's moving far away from home, like you said, you know, and it just, there's a lot of bad that will come with clearing him.
Would we rather JT Daniels play this year and just get it over with? Rather than have him come next year, like after Jamie Newman's gone?
No. I'm ready to beat him this year.
Okay. I mean, I think it's going to be tough going into Georgia in November.
It is.
And winning.
It
is. But Jamie Newman's not very good. So, like, if Jamie Newman is their quarterback, like, Tennessee will have a chance. I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens in November. And Georgia's defense is still going to be really, really good. But
and also, we'll get him at home, and we should have an even better team next year.
Okay.
That'll be a home game.
Correct.
See JT Daniels come into Neyland. See how against a good team.
I was going to say I'd rather go against like a freshman quarterback next year on the them going on the road.
It would be cool. In Knoxville. Yeah, I mean that would be fine.
Assuming JT Daniels is as good as everyone says, and that he will be a guy that's like, you know what, 3 years, I'm out, ready to go to the NFL.
I don't know if he will be. You know,
maybe not.
I don't know.
I saw like when ESPN was writing about the best quarterbacks in next year's draft, he was on the guys to watch out for off the radar now, but you know could bust on the scene.
Yeah, I'm not scared. I'm not scared of him.
Of JT Daniels?
Yeah.
Okay. I am more worried about him than Jamie Newman.
Which is going to be funny
to see everyone who has been protecting Jamie Newman and leading the Jamie Newman for Heisman charge, and Jamie Newman's a first-round pick, to now watch them go and say, yeah, you got to start JT Daniels.
I would agree with that. I've been out on Jamie Newman since the start. So
they're just going to throw Jamie Newman to the side. Did you see Barrett Salee's projecting the SEC win totals? Did you see his projection? That's been a topic of conversation on the morning show and now. Did you see what he predicted in the SEC?
No. Who?
Barrett Salee, noted professional.
Yeah, I don't.
Esteemed journalist.
I don't really like him.
Over in the West, he has Alabama getting back on top, 12-0.
Big, really going out on a limb there.
In the East, sometimes you go on the limb and the limb breaks and you fall and you break your neck. Sometimes going out on a limb is unnecessary if you have a good sturdy trunk that you can just hold on to. Sometimes you don't have to go out on a limb.
That's true.
He has Tennessee at 9-3, 6-2 in the conference.
I'll take that.
Third place in the division.
Well, yeah. Well, 9-3 means you beat
you lose to Oklahoma,
and then he's got us beating Florida.
if he has us beating Florida, he has that as Florida's only loss. He has them at 11-1, 7-1 in conference.
This guy doesn't know what he's.
Georgia 10-2, 6-2 in conference. And the discussion surrounding the internet today is, would you lock this in? And I've seen a lot of people saying yes, but I am here to tell you no. I would not.
You are saying no.
No, I'm not locking it in.
To beat Florida, Georgia, or Alabama?
Yep.
And win all your other games? Well, besides Oklahoma.
Look, when you put it that way, yes. 9-3, 6-2 in conference, I would take that. But I'm not taking Florida going 11-1. So I'm sorry. I have to roll the dice.
Yeah, well, that would be hard.
I'm not doing that. I'm not taking Florida going 11-1. If you want to isolate it just to Tennessee, you have a better chance of convincing me. But if you are going to tell me that we finish third place in the division and Florida goes 11-1 and is playing for the a trip to the national championship or a trip to the playoff in the SEC championship against Alabama, I say no, sir. No, I will not sign up for that.
I mean, that would suck. But what if you're Florida's only loss? I mean, that would be cool, you know. That means one really,
that means you
really
choked
big win.
That means you choked against Georgia.
Well,
in November with the SEC East on the line. That means.
Maybe so, but I mean,
into November thinking, if we go to Athens and win, we are winning the SEC East, and we have a chance to go to the playoff.
Well, yeah, but when's the last time we were 9-3? 2007?
It's been a while.
It'll be 2007.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
But I can still remember
just the way you taste.
Young me was like, whoa, that's graphic.
Oh.
That's graphic.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good song, though. That's still a good song. I think that holds up.
I bought that album.
Did you?
Stain, Break the Cycle.
Did it have Right Here on there, too?
No. Nope.
What were some others?
I don't know if it had any other hits, actually. Outside? It had Outside.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on the outside. Yeah. Now I'm looking.
But then they kind of went a little bit more poppy with Here Without You.
I can see through you.
This was very angsty Stain.
No, it was Right Here.
Oh, Right Here. Yeah, yeah.
Here Without You was three doors
down. Yeah, Right Here.
I'll still be right here waiting.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing.
And if I
still a little too poppy for this album. No, this album was very angsty.
A little angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Outside. Yeah, those are the only two.
Yeah, I can't think of any other. I think I had that CD too.
Okay.
But I can't remember the other songs on it. I think we pretty much covered it.
I remember the beginning where it was just about hating his parents. I do remember that one.
You know, that guy turned out to be
country singer.
A big Don't Tread on Me guy, Aaron Lewis. He had that one song about, what was it?
I believe we've had the same exact conversation.
I'm pretty sure we have.
Yeah, let's move on. So 9-3, you are locking that in. So you're saying lock it in. And I think a lot of people would look at it and agree. And like I said, if you told me that Florida loses 3 or 4 games and Georgia wins the East again, I would probably say, okay, fine, lock it in. But I told you that this year is about catching Florida. Not only in the recruiting trail, but on the field as well. That's where I'm at this year. So I say, no, sir, I will not lock that in. I will roll the dice. Could the dice roll, spit out 8-4 or 7-5? Yes, it could. Maybe even worse, because about 6-6. That could happen. Could it also spit out 10-2? Who knows?
It could.
Maybe.
It could, yeah.
I don't know if you've listened to the show lately, Cody, but I'm not yielding Alabama this year.
I've heard you say that, yes.
And whether or not you agree, that's fine. You don't necessarily have to, but I'm looking at just the schedule and the breakdown. I'm not yielding to Alabama just yet. So I'll roll the dice on us going to Oklahoma. Did you see the stats? Did you see what Bill Conley was posting yesterday?
What was he saying?
About the looked at Oklahoma's depth chart as he gets ready for his previews. And he just tweeted out, hey, OU fans, am I missing something here? Or are you guys going to try to field a 3-man front with no 300-pounders and no 280-pounders who played last year? Like, their defensive front, very small.
Well, maybe they've grown over the offseason.
Ronnie Perkins, 6'3", 247. Jaleel Redmond. Not Jaleel. Jalen Redmond, 6'3", 278. Like, the heaviest guy they got on there is a nose guard at 293. who didn't play last year. So, like, I know we kind of did the same exercise before West Virginia where we looked at their defense and their run defense and their defensive line, but that was with a completely different offensive line than Tennessee
had. It does seem like our offensive line will push those guys around.
Like, we acknowledge that in 2020, our offensive line should be really good, right? Assuming Trey Smith plays, assuming Cade Mays gets cleared, Tennessee's offensive line should be really, really good and a strength.
I think it's going to be maybe the best one in the SEC.
And we think that Eric Gray is poised for a huge breakout season, correct? At least I do.
Yeah, that's fine. Or him or some other running back. You know,
I think it'll be Eric Gray.
Running back by committee.
I think Eric Gray is going to be a beast. I really do. But my point is, like, I know we did the same thing against West Virginia, but things were a little bit different.
Yeah, this
O-line.
We had,
like, a Dylan Wiseman on the offensive line at that point. And no disrespect to Dylan Wiseman, but I'll take my 4 and 5 stars across the board.
Yeah, this O-line, everyone was a 5-star besides Brandon Kennedy, who was a 6-year senior.
Right.
Yeah. This should be the best O-line in the SEC.
So when you look and show me that Oklahoma's defensive front is tiny, they're little boys. Then I will say I'm not yielding Oklahoma. Are we going to beat all these teams? I mean, we're not going undefeated. I'm not stupid. And maybe I'm setting myself up for a big disappointment, but I feel good heading into 2020.
I do, too.
Like I said, we have an offensive line with a 6-year senior and then 4 5-stars. We have running backs that I feel good about. So, like, you could say that you're not sold on Jarrett Garantano. And I would say, okay, I get it. I understand. But in the Oklahoma game, I think Tennessee should be allowed to just turn around and hand the ball off and be able to churn out 5-6-yard carries.
And if you're able to do that, that can really help you in the old play-action game.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and I think our wide receivers, I said it yesterday, I think our wide receivers are going to be better than they were last year. They're going to be faster. They're going to be a dynamic.
I'm a little more concerned than you about the wide receivers.
I like Josh Palmer. We're getting Brandon Johnson back. I'm excited to see what D'Angelo Gibbs brings to the table. He's a freak athlete. I'm excited for the wide receivers. Keaton. I like Keaton. I'm excited for the speed and the different look our wide receivers are going to have next year. I love Juwan Jennings, but he was slow. Marquez Callaway, not very fast either. I think we're going to have a different look, and I think we're going to have some burners out there.
I like your positivity.
Like I said, this might all come crashing down. This might all come crashing down because I understand that 2 is still back there. And we're not necessarily sold on 2. When I say we're not necessarily sold, that's putting it very lightly. That's me being as nice as possible, saying that we're not sold on him.
I'm hoping that he has a great year.
I hope so, too.
And
if he doesn't, I hope Harrison Bailey does. I hope we have somebody at the quarterback position that can play. Because I do think the rest of the team, the rest of the offense especially, is ready to go.
Good enough to run the ball on Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty obvious. The big question will be, will we have something dialed up defensively to stop them? But I like it that we are going to be Spencer Rattler's first test, you know? Still got to realize that it's a playoff-type team that we're dealing with. I mean, it's a team that's used to winning. They win their games. It's what they do.
Sure.
But they are breaking in a new quarterback.
They don't beat SEC teams, though.
Yeah, and unlike that West Virginia team, they're not bringing back Will Grier, who's been running that offense for years, you know? They're breaking in a new quarterback, which they've been known to be okay with doing. But he is new, you know? You'd rather be going against Spencer Rattler in his first test than you would Will Grier, right?
I think so.
Just comparing it to that West Virginia game.
Yeah. You know. Well, also breaking in, you know, 2 freshman defensive backs and, mm-hmm. and, you know, trying to figure out your secondary and not having a defense that you felt good about. Like, yeah. Like, I know the easy comparison is going to be the West Virginia game, but I would like to think that we've made pretty big strides in 2 years here.
Yeah. I would hope so. So maybe that game's definitely one that we... I mean, it's in play for sure. I think every game is in play this year.
The one I feel least confident about is Georgia. But even that, when I look at it and say, Jamie Newman is not very good, and this coaching staff should have a chance to do something to bother him.
Yeah.
That there's a chance that this Georgia team, who has a pretty tough schedule this year, right?
Yeah, they do. They got to play Alabama.
They play Alabama and Auburn from the West, and by the time they play Tennessee, they will have played Florida. They play Virginia, the season opener, which, I mean, that's nothing, but they'll play South Carolina before they play Tennessee. They'll be coming off of two straight games against Georgia at South Carolina, and then they play Tennessee. But like you said, they already play Alabama and Auburn. So there's a chance that Georgia team already has two losses between Florida, Auburn, and Alabama. I would even say a pretty good chance that Georgia has at least two losses by the time Tennessee plays them.
Yeah.
And that maybe it's unraveled a little bit by their standards.
That's the best we could hope for.
Do I think we beat Georgia this year? No. No, I don't think so. That's the game I feel least confident in.
Well, you got to lose somewhere on the schedule.
Sure. Sure. But the other three, Cody, I'm not yielding three losses here. Especially, like I said, if Florida is going 11-1, like that initial scenario we have is a definite hell no for me. But
so you're going to ride with 10-2, with the possibility of 10-2.
I'm trying to get to 10-2 this year. Is it going to take good play from number two? Yes. Or Bailey? Yes.
Well, I think we all realize that this team honestly was a 9-3 team last year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They really were.
And like Missouri shouldn't be better this year. I mean, really, like significantly.
The only thing I'm worried about is
Arkansas is on the schedule instead of who was our West team last year? I guess we beat Mississippi State, but
yeah.
Arkansas sucks.
Yeah, we should hammer them. The only thing I'm concerned about is, you know, down the stretch last year, the teams we did beat, we can't pretend those games against, like, Missouri and Kentucky were not tough.
No, they were. I'm not acting like we rolled over them, and I understand that they weren't even very good and that our winning streak isn't necessarily the most ironclad, impressive streak that there is. But I also think that we have some blue chippers from two, you know, that were freshmen last year that should be better next year.
Yeah,
and we should be adding some more good pieces, and that, you know, the year two and Jim Chaney and the way the defense was playing, I think that can carry over.
I just hope that this doesn't end up like a 2016 kind of year, you know, because we're all ready to beat Georgia, Florida, Bama, Oklahoma. We're ready to beat one or two of those teams. Like we are all expecting that this year, that we get over the hump and beat a big rival, right? But I don't want that to come at the cost of then we just act like all these other games don't matter, and then we drop a game against somebody like South Carolina on the road, and it's just going to be a travesty, you know?
Like I said, I am putting myself out there to be disappointed. I'm putting myself out there with the potential to be disappointed. I understand that, and maybe I'm being too optimistic, and maybe this all comes crashing down on me, and we will be sad come October 12th or whatever it is when we play Oklahoma. Maybe all that's true, but I'm saying right now, as we get to the end of May, I have higher hopes than 9-3.
Are your hopes going into this year as high as they were going into 2016?
No. No.
Because of the fact that Georgia is clearly still the front runner?
Yes, we were the favorites in the East, and yes, I had higher hopes then.
Okay. Could be just as good of a year, though. Like, looking back on what ended up happening that year, this could end up being better.
Well, no, this should be better than 8-4. Or at least an 8-4 where you – I mean, like –
Yeah, I'm just saying you beat Florida and Georgia in that 8-4, but then obviously the massive disappointment at the end. So I'm hoping we come out of this year feeling better than that.
But, no, I had much more confidence in the 2016 team.
This could be the best
– mostly because you just knew how much NFL talent was on that team. Now, you know – Even as we sat there before 2016, like, I think there were still huge question marks about the coaching. But I was excited about getting Bob Shoup, I will say that.
Yeah.
I thought the defense was going to be
dominant. Bob's been good everywhere he's been besides here. So
we got to catch a break. We got to get to Tuesday trivia on a Friday coming up next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hi, I'm Bo Kregner.
All right, let's play some Tuesday trivia. We'll get back into the rolling the dice or locking it in hour two, but we got to get our three games in today in all 3 hours. So, Cameron, are you ready?
I am.
Cody, are you ready?
I'm ready to roll.
Are you ready?
I am.
Was that a good Triple H impression?
I don't know who that is. I don't watch pro wrestling.
I said, are you ready? You want to go first or second?
I appreciate you doing it right toward me so I can get all the COVID.
You don't even wear, you are so disrespectful to everyone else. You don't even wear a cover on your microphone. So please don't talk to me.
I spray it with Lysol.
Please don't talk to me.
I spray it with Lysol.
Please don't talk to me.
They kept taking my cover off.
That's the point of the covers, to swap them out.
They kept taking my cover off and they lost my cover. So, you know, now I just raw dog it. I spray it with Lysol after every show.
Do you want to go first or second? I also think that's a lie, by the way.
First.
All right, pick a number.
What are we numbering to?
Oh, my bad. 234.
234 or just 34?
34.
34. So are these the same questions?
It was
34.
I think whenever we use one, he replaces it, I assume is what happens.
I would hope so. All right, let's start with lucky number 7.
Number 7. All right.
Yeah.
Got yourself a sports question.
Oh, that should be
How
good.
Many Olympic gold medals does Michael Phelps have?
Oh, goodness. Goodness, goodness, goodness. You act like that's easy for me. It's really not. How many Olympic gold medals does Michael Phelps has? Is it 8?
That is incorrect.
Try to get 8 in that one Olympics. That's what you're thinking, 8. Speaking of 8, I'll take 8. Oh, you want to go to the answer?
The answer is 13? 23.
23. That was way off.
He got 8 in the one Olympics.
Yeah, I was way off. Yeah. You knew it was 23?
Yeah, MJ, dude. Everyone knows 23.
Yeah, well.
Give me number 8.
Lost that one.
Movie question.
That includes team gold medals, too, right? Yeah. Damn.
What 2019 film won the Golden Raspberry Award for the worst film of the year?
It's going to be a terrible Netflix movie. Usually Adam Sandler wins it. I'm blanking on terrible 2019 movies. I'm trying to think of my Netflix queue. I'll go with Murder Mystery is what I'll go with, although I thought that one was kind of good.
That is incorrect.
Yeah.
It was Cats.
Oh, damn it. Damn it.
Yeah. No steals, right?
No. Yeah. Damn it.
I was going to say Cats.
Oh, with that still, I was at 23.
Yeah. All good right, thing Cody. We're not stealing, huh?
Damn it.
Okay. Cats. Question one, Cam.
Question one. What is the capital of New Zealand?
I'm just checking the clock.
Oh, man. Man, I used to know this, too.
It would be nice if you knew it now.
Auckland?
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
It's Wellington.
Damn it.
Auckland is in New Zealand, right?
Yes.
Okay. At least I don't look like a total idiot. It's Wellington?
Yep.
Did you know it?
No, I was looking at the clock. No. I also don't know what number you guessed just then.
I think it was Auckland, not Clockland.
What number did you guess?
Huh?
What number did you guess?
16.
33?
All right. What Stephen King novel takes place mostly in the fictional Overlook Hotel?
The Shining?
That is correct. Somebody's on the board.
Congrats on your win. Okay, 34.
34. All right. How many teeth does adult human have?
Damn it. So easy.
How many teeth?
Yep.
Are you trying to count on your tongue right now? It looks like you're trying to rake over all of them. Come on. This is the easiest question we've had.
Hang on.
I'm about to start a shot clock. You don't get to physically count. You can't ask him a question that he has the proof right here in his mouth.
You got 10 seconds. 9, 8.
Hang on.
7, 6.
Hang on.
5, 4, 3, 2.
30.
1. That is incorrect.
Damn it.
Is it 32?
That would be the answer.
Still? You didn't give me time to count.
How do you not know you? How do you not know that?
I don't. How am I gonna know how many teeth I got? I don't know. I never counted them till now.
25.
25.
I don't even know what number you guessed in either. I'm not paying attention right now. I was too busy celebrating. Oh my god!
Nintendo introduced this video game system in 1985. Yep.
What the hell was that called? The Super Nintendo.
That is incorrect.
Damn it!
It's Game Boy.
No, it's the NES or the NES.
Yeah, okay.
All right, are we both through three questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one to nothing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, still time.
When did
to,
the Super Nintendo? You probably don't know when the Super Nintendo.
I don't know the exact date. Yeah,
I guess that was probably more of like 92 or so. I remember playing Donkey Kong on it. Damn it!
All right, question 20.
What is the Nintendo NES? What is that?
What is the currency of Vietnam?
The Chang.
That is incorrect. It's the Vietnamese dong.
I was close.
Ended sure, with, yeah.
Chang, dong. It was kind of close.
Not really close.
It ended with the same 34. Two letters. Damn.
So
these
yeah,
are hard.
If you get this one, I think
I'm getting blitzkrieged here.
Not really. I only have one.
I mean,
can I get a 27?
27. Yep.
Okay.
Who are the five permanent members of the UN Security Council?
God.
I guess I can ask a follow-up question, but...
I think I know it. Cam, I know it. Can I steal?
No.
If you'll give me two questions to get a point, I'll let you steal this one if you want.
No.
Okay. I don't know this. The U.S., Great Britain.
Yep.
France.
Yep.
Canada?
Yeah, it's incorrect. You were starting strong there.
Well, I had three, yeah.
First of all, it's United Kingdom, not Great Britain, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
so, right. So. And then is it China, Russia?
That would be correct.
Damn it.
Yeah, you didn't know it. Okay. Damn it. Well, Cody, you have a chance to get the tie here, to get to the tiebreaker.
I'm checking the clock here.
Yeah, give me question 11.
Question 11.
China and Russia.
I had heard that somewhere before. I don't remember why I heard it.
I assumed we didn't trust those guys.
I thought once you got France, you were going to get it.
I assumed we didn't trust those guys.
Yeah.
What is it called when someone gets three strikes in a row in bowling?
Oh, my God.
Turkey?
Yeah.
That is correct.
What are these questions?
That got me on the board. Really, it's 1.5-1 right now.
No, it's not.
It should be.
I got 32 and 23.
All right, we'll go ahead and win it here, big brain.
No, I can't because I'm gonna guess a number you've guessed. I've already seen this is how this is going to end.
Guess number one. Just trust me.
20.
He has already chosen number 20. Yeah! So we get to the tiebreaker round.
Oh, yeah!
We'll do one more round before the tiebreaker is usually how we do it.
What a choke job.
I knew I was going to guess the number you had guessed.
What a choke job by you. All right, I'll go with 20.
How many letters in the alphabet? Let's see if you can get this one.
I'll go with 20. I think it's 26.
Yeah.
I will go with number 25.
Oh, yes!
You already chose that one.
Yes!
I thought you did 26.
I did. No, I did.
No, he did 25.
What?
Let's go with.
God damn it.
14. Oh. 14.
Oh, no. No.
All right. All right, yes. Yes.
What is a group of lions called?
A prod.
That is correct.
Let's go.
Damn it. Unbelievable. Ah! Unbelievable.
Who do you think you are? I am!
What was 24? What was the question 24?
We didn't even do 24 today. We didn't even do 24 today.
Well, you want to know what it is? What it was, because okay. He would have.
It was who played the Green Goblin in the 2002 Spider-Man movie?
Ooh, what is that guy's name?
That's okay. I wouldn't have gotten it.
What is that guy's name?
William Dafoe.
William Dafoe. Yeah, William.
I think it's Willem.
I was gonna. I wasn't. Didn't want you to give me the answer to shit. I was thinking.
William Dafoe would have been wrong. I think.
Didn't know how much time we missed.
I believe it's Will.
We had a couple minutes. He's in The Lighthouse. I still need to watch that from last year. I mean, he's a pretty famous actor.
Again, Willem Dafoe.
Is it William? It's not William.
Willem. Yeah, I think you guys both would have been wrong there. congrats on your win.
Oh, it is Willem Dafoe.
Unbelievable. what a just botch.
Imagine making fun of me for choking for calling the same number, and then you turn around and do it too.
What a botch job. I didn't make fun of you. I was just happy you missed it.
You called it a choke job. I believe the quote was, "Wow, what a choke job." End I quote. Wow, what a choke job.
Hell, you're 1-0.
Feels good just to get it on the board and not get swept today. No pressure's off now.
Not for me.
Nice. All right. Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We are looking forward to the weekend so we can party and yeah. Five-star junior Kennedy Chandler. We've talked about him, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Five-star that was in Memphis that Tennessee has really wanted to come play basketball and be the point guard of the future. At least if that future is only 1 year. He will play his last year of high school basketball at Sunrise Christian Academy in Kansas instead of in Memphis. He is leaving the city of Memphis and going to Sunrise Christian Academy in Kansas.
So he's transferring high schools?
Correct.
Well, I respect his decision. Did he have a final four or five schools? Did he
for high school? No, I don't think
put
so.
Put their logos up.
Nah,
on
I mean, I think
graphic.
I think Sunrise Christian Academy is a big time school where a lot of D1 players go to play.
Do they?
I think Jonas wrote in saying that 76 Division I players have played under their current coach, at this school. So I think he is a just going somewhere that can get him max prepared, I guess, for college basketball. He'll also be playing with Paulo Banchero. That is another five-star that Tennessee is after. A big-time power forward.
That'll be a package deal.
The number four player in the country.
That would be all right.
Well, I believe, if you look at Kennedy Chandler's comments, he says, they went on a visit together, and they have been talking about teaming up and playing in college, and they have three common schools on their final list: Kentucky, Tennessee, and Duke. I don't know if Paulo's actually going to that high school or not. I might have misspoke there, but something to keep an eye on. Is it good to get him out of Memphis at least? Although I don't know if Memphis is really a threat. I feel like, this could be ever-changing, but I feel like it's Tennessee or Duke is kind of where I think it's at.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about, like, the schools you got to go up against for a guy like him, I mean, it would make sense that it would come down to Duke.
And I guess Kentucky could get in there, but I, like I said, I feel like it's just Tennessee and Duke. Maybe I'm wrong there.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't personally feel good about it myself, but from everything you've said, though, I mean, it seems like they have a good relationship with him and everything. So I just don't know why you'd come to Tennessee if you could go to Duke or Kentucky and, like, your goal is to get to the NBA. We're not really some kind of NBA factory, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, maybe if you're as good as Kennedy Chandler is, maybe you're not as focused on just going somewhere that can get you best suited for the NBA.
Because you know you're going to the NBA anyway.
Because you know you're going to the NBA anyway.
Well, maybe.
Point guards can, you know, go somewhere where they have the ball and they're the unquestioned guy, you know what I mean? Like, and they can go and showcase that wherever they are. I mean, look no further than John Morant going number two.
Yeah, and he was from Murray State.
From Murray State. Like, you can, you know, Markelle Fultz at Washington, you know, was up there with no help, and he went number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons went to LSU. So, like, the big-time athletes can go there, and at point guard, usually find their way no matter what. Now, obviously, you know, you go to Kentucky, and you can look at John Wall and Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe, and there's some other point guards who have gone and done that, but I think point guard is a position where you are going to get the ball no matter what. Now, I would say that Duke and, you know, the Jones brothers have had a pretty good run recently. But Tennessee, do you have a lot of confidence in the point guard for Rick Barnes? Because I feel like it's been a while since he's had a point guard that was a first-round pick. Like,
no.
I don't want to go – DJ Augustine, is that the last time you have to go back before Rick Barnes had a – point guard drafted in the first round?
I would assume.
I mean, I know you had TJ Ford, but TJ Ford was before DJ Augustine. I want to say it was Augustine.
Yeah, that's been 15 years ago.
Jordan Bone, drafted in the second round. That's the only point guard he's had Tennessee get drafted. Everything you read or have read, I guess, since Rick Barnes got to Tennessee has been about how hard it is to play point guard for him. How tough and challenging it is.
Maybe that's what a guy like that wants, though.
Maybe you'll find someone who wants to be coached that way and wants to be ridden and groomed, but usually those are the 3 or 4 year guys, not really the one and done guys.
Yeah, you would think that a guy like that would seek other outlets.
You got a
Could just go to the G League.
It was
probably what I'd do.
I keep saying that's one of my concerns, is that Tennessee is going to get him and he's going to say, you know what, I'm going to go make $500,000 instead.
Yeah, if I'm him, I'm probably just going to the G League.
Corey Joseph, that was the
okay
one in 2011.
And he was first round?
Yeah, pick 29, so okay. Like, snuck in there, but yeah, that was the most recent point guard.
Okay. Corey Joseph. And he's been solid in the league too. I mean, he's had a career. I did not know he was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
How long was he in college? I mean, I guess I'm putting him on the spot. He was there for one. Okay, so he was one and done.
Okay.
And went in the first round after having 10 points, 3.6 rebounds, and 3 assists. Shot 41% from 3, I guess, so maybe the shot was there, but that's weird that he went in the first round. Didn't feel like he did enough in college. Like, I mean, that was the last one, and okay, he was a 10-point game scorer,
yeah,
3 assists. I would hope that this Kennedy Chandler guy would be better than that.
And if you consider Avery Bradley a point guard, he was also drafted before DJ Augustine, or more recently.
I think of him more as a two-guard, but either way,
I do too.
A guard at in Rick Barnes' system. But I think of him more as a two-guard. And he was also one and done.
Yep.
Where did he get drafted at?
19.
Okay. So Barnes has had some guards go pro, and that was what, 2010? 2010, and Joseph was when?
11.
Okay, so back-to-back years, you had some one-and-done guard. Okay. I mean, it's been a while. It's been 10 years, but.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, after Corey Joseph, he only had one guy drafted before he came here.
Would that be Miles Turner?
Yeah.
Okay. So like you said, Cody, it would be tough to look down Duke and North Carolina, even though North Carolina doesn't have as much NBA success recently as these other guys. So look down Duke and Kentucky and be like, yeah, I'm going to go try my luck at Tennessee. But credit to Tennessee that they're even in the mix. And, you know, some people think a leader. Some people think they have a really good chance. Some people think they're in the driver's seat. It's a credit to them and a credit to Kim English. But he's getting out of the city of Memphis, the state of Memphis, and the state of Tennessee, and going to Kansas. Some people consider Memphis a whole other state. So I said
it kind of is. Memphis is a interesting part of the country. I don't know. I'd much rather be in Memphis than Kansas, though.
Yeah, Paolo is not going to that high school. He's
what's that?
That guy, the other five-star.
The guy you said he's going to be with, the power
forward? Well, I said that the guy they want to play with and be on teammates with, I had said he might be going to that high school, but he's not. No, he's staying up in Washington. And
Kansas.
Wichita.
Wichita. What an awful place. That's one of those places that you just can't defend. You know how we got listeners all around the country, and occasionally I'll say something bad about a state, and they're like, well, actually, Utah's fantastic. I know we got a guy in Iowa. He's like, well, actually, they're this and that and this and that. Kansas, one of those places, just can't defend it. You just can't. I have been there. Kansas City, not a bad city, but, you know, it's in Missouri. So it's just the worst state you could ever think of. You couldn't even dream it up worse.
I have no defense.
No one does.
I have no defense.
Unless you are a windmill and you're looking for freedom, you got no argument in Kansas. Or if you're a tornado looking to cover, get as big as you can, maybe.
But you wouldn't be able to hit anything.
No. No.
Not really.
No.
70% of 1,000 people have said that they will take the 9-3 season.
I'd rather live in Afghanistan than Kansas.
70% basically have said lock it in, 9-3.
Win
over Florida as your big win of the season. Losses to Oklahoma, Alabama, and Georgia. Lock it in.
I'm not locking it in. You started telling me about how small Oklahoma's defensive line is, and now I am fully on board of rolling the dice.
I mean, their run defense wasn't very good last year when you look at the actual, like, metrics. Like, they were ranked 32nd in the country in terms of, you know, you look at the old gen stats, but when you look at, like, their actual success rate and stopping explosive plays and doing, like, the actual running, like, being able to stop the run when you have to stop the run type of thing, they were very bad at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like our offensive line, and I like Eric Gray, and I'm just not punting that game. But 70% of people disagree with me. Cody, if I give you one of the four wins, which one are you taking? And of course, you know which big four I'm talking about. Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama, gosh, Georgia.
Yeah, you didn't have to tell me.
I was telling the audience. I know you have.
I would hope
brain.
Even they knew.
Well, some people
I know, obviously, I have a huge
some
brain.
Some people aren't Tennessee fans. Some people aren't Tennessee fans. We have people that listen that aren't Tennessee fans, believe it or not.
And I appreciate those
And they
those
tell
people.
Us they appreciate me and you because they say, I don't want to hear Tennessee all the time, and we don't give you Tennessee all the time.
I appreciate
But
those
we're giving
people.
Them Tennessee right now. So in case they're unfamiliar with the schedule, I just wanted to tell them.
The what?
The schedule. Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma and Georgia on the road, Florida and Alabama are
I mean,
at home.
You,
which of the four are you taking, Cody McClure?
As much as you want to beat Florida, you got to say Alabama.
Alabama, lock in Cody for Alabama. Cameron?
You have to.
I'm taking Georgia.
Cam's from Georgia.
Yeah, I would like to go back and take over Athens again.
I think I would take Georgia, too.
Over beating Alabama?
No, I'll beat Alabama.
You know how long it's been,
though. I know, but Georgia, they just have a one-game lead ahead of us now, right? Or is it two games now in terms of the all-time record?
It's really close.
All-time series. I want to catch that. We go head-to-head with Georgia more than Alabama recruiting. And there's an outside shot that could be for the East. I mean, I guess if you've lost those other two games to Alabama and Florida, it might be unlikely. But 6-2, three-way ties, like we've won those before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think you can pick Georgia. Like, Georgia probably does you the most good as a program
uh-huh.
in terms of gaining ground. and cementing your place back at the top of the division.
Okay.
Maybe Georgia does you the most good there, Georgia or Florida. But think about the sweetness. We've never beaten Nick Saban.
Smoking cigars. As we were smoking cigars, ESPN would be like, this is unhealthy. This is so bad.
Especially amidst a global pandemic.
As they were lining up with Alabama last year.
Imagine actually being able to light that cigar. You've taken that cigar into the stadium for what? 12 straight years? Oh God, it's 14, 15 straight years now? And you've never been able to light it. 14 years ago. Think about that. You're 42 right now, guy listening. You're 42. You've been taking that cigar in since you were 28, and you haven't been able to light it against Nick Saban. Now you're telling me you're going to be able to walk out of Neyland Stadium with a lit cigar at the age of 42? I don't know about you, but I'm taking that. I'm taking that. To finally get one on Saban and Alabama, all the misery, all the pain, all the 45-14s, the 49-10s, the 56-7s. I don't know if they ever beat us 56. I think they got 59 on us 1 year. You got
59-7 seems familiar, but I don't know.
You got to. Maybe it wasn't that bad. You've got to take that. Put the nail in his coffin, you know.
Officially retire Saban.
Now, sure, you're getting him on the way down.
You still got him though.
But to get him,
you still got him though.
To get him and
I mean, you can make a documentary about it. Like, we let Michael Jordan parade around about getting the Bad Boys Pistons on the way out. So, like, this will be Jerry Pruitt's passing of the torch. This will be his big key moment of his documentary. You know, I can never beat Saban. Well, I love Saban. I couldn't beat him the first 2 years, but year three, we got him.
Well, and especially you think about that he is from Alabama, you know, and he was under Saban and he was a prodigy. Also, would that not be the first time an assistant under Nick Saban has ever beat Nick Saban?
That is correct.
I'm pretty sure that's a stat. We've already got people tweeting in. Brad says, I'm literally speaking to him because he'll be 42 when that game is played this year. Think about it, Brad. You haven't lit a cigar since you were 28, Brad. 2006, that's the last time we beat them. Just off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure. 2006, because Saban got there in 07. We won the East that year, and they still beat us like 41-14 or something.
I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't want to beat Alabama. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even saying you haven't convinced me, because you're very convincing.
I can be persuasive. You have to be if you're a guy like me. You have to be.
We're not that much different, you and I.
You probably got it a little easier.
Georgia for Cam, Alabama for Cody. Is there any case for Oklahoma making a statement at the beginning of the year? Because, like, we're not guaranteeing losses in the others. I don't want to say we're guaranteeing losses. You're not going 1-3. You're just the one win you want the most. There's no real case to make for Oklahoma, right? Like, just to beat up on a Big 12 team, make a statement to the country, be catapulted into the top 15, be the talk of the nation for a week.
That's all dandy, but it's not beating one of the big three. Okay. Philip Fulmer said it best. Sure. We hired this guy to beat Florida, Georgia, and Alabama.
Sure.
It's always been about Florida, Georgia, and Alabama.
I understand.
Can't even make the case for Oklahoma.
Okay.
I don't think
the only case I would make is that you would become the talk of the country for a week.
Which would be nice.
And that you'd be riding high, and you would go into Florida ranked in the top 15. And nice. If we do have fans in the stands, like, that will be – you'll get the sellout that we didn't get in 2018, right, whenever it was just like 90,000 people there.
Yeah.
Like, you will get that – you will get Florida's attention, and you will feel good about yourselves going into there, and that you could win both of them. The mark against Alabama and Georgia is that it's later in the year, right? You've already got through those other first two games, or first three games in Georgia's case. But that also is a benefit for Georgia, if it means something.
The other thing I keep thinking about is, if you simply beat Alabama or Florida, which is not simple, but, you know, you lose to Oklahoma and then you split those games. You just beat one of them. That game in Athens in November should be for the East. That's the thing I keep telling myself.
Say that one more time.
All you got to do is split Alabama and Florida.
That's all.
That's all you got to do.
Which, I mean, look, both of them are at home.
Yeah, you beat one of them.
And then we'll lose to Will Muschamp.
Well, now that's a thing you got to think about. Then but
we'll lose to Will Muschamp at South Carolina.
I'm working on the assumption that
you're... Damn Will Muschamp.
I'm working on the assumption that we're going to take care of business against the inferiors.
Feels which like, is feels not, like 2016.
Which may not be safe to assume. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, you take care of business against the inferiors. You can lose to Oklahoma and Florida or Alabama. But if you go into that game in Athens with one conference loss, it is for the East in November. Playing for the division in November. Now, that's got a ring to it, doesn't it?
That's a great ring to it.
When's the last time that happened? You know?
I think it's a good discussion. I think it's a good question. Jesco says third Saturday in October should be a thing again. His votes for Alabama. Doug says you can always excuse losing to Saban, but I'll be damned if we lose to that cuck Mullen anymore. I think that's a vote for Florida.
Yeah.
Keegan says was going to tap Florida, but Knoxville would burn to the ground if we beat Saban at home.
It really would.
Julian says a win over Alabama would be so sweet. I don't think we've had a close win against them. We had 2015.
We've had two.
We had 2015.
And 2009.
And 2009. Damn, that's a long time ago. 2009. Oh, that's one of our two close games in over a decade.
Yeah.
And last year was quasi-close.
2006 was 14 years ago.
Ross says it's Georgia for the Russell factor. Just kind of rustle the feathers. Make Georgia fans mad. Fans upset.
What's that?
Georgia for the Russell. R-U-S-T-L-E. Russell, like Russell Feathers.
I thought it was ruffle the feathers.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
Pretty sure it's ruffle the feathers.
Yeah, rustling.
Russell's shaking like bushes. Yeah, ruffling is what birds do to...
Yeah. Russell would be the shake.
What is Russell doing? Yeah.
It is to like
Russell to, is yes to like to rustle Russell the, is like it's something it's not like rustling moving feathers, in a bush.
But rustling them, I guess, kind of similar.
Ruffling would be messing up the
is
feathers.
Rustling and ruffling kind of close though? I feel like if you ruffle somebody's feathers, you're also rustling them.
Well, they
like
call it ruffling
them.
Feathers because when birds get upset, they like ruffle their feathers. So
that's right, so you're
like,
upsetting them though. Exactly. So I mean, like if you rustle somebody, you're also shaking them and bothering them too, right? So I mean, it's sort of close.
It's similar,
I guess you could say that. Yes.
Well, no, you can't say rustle the feathers. I made a mistake there.
Did he say rustle the feathers, or did he
said
say ruffle?
Just for the rustle factor.
The rustle. What is the rustle factor?
That's why I assume the flat the feathers.
Let's look up definitions.
I just did for rustle. Make a soft,
a
muffled,
soft,
crackling
muffled
sound.
Crackling sound. Oh, so like Russell Smith.
Round up and steal cattle and horses or sheep. I thought that was wrangle, but I guess.
Make a soft, muffled crackling sound. Is that like the sound of a fire caused by the movement?
What is the wrangle?
Oh, it's caused by the movement of dry leaves or paper. So you're rustling paper.
Yeah, that sounds like it's like a bush or like plants.
Shh, 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 shh. You know, like you're flipping through some papers. Shh, shh. There you go, like that.
I thought wrangling was the same thing as rustling, but okay, either way. Poor says it's Alabama, period, and I think we're close. I think we're going to do it. Christian says he agrees with you. Beat Florida or Bama, and Georgia's for the East most likely. So I guess that's a vote for Georgia, maybe?
There's also Ruffles chips. You ever have Ruffles?
Against my will a couple times.
You don't like Ruffles? They're good right. Dip chips.
Yeah.
I think they're good for if you got like a sour cream and onion dip.
I don't usually do that, though.
Or a French onion dip or something. I bet you hate those, don't you?
No, they're okay.
Really? Like sour cream and onion dip?
I've done that before.
Or like a French onion?
It's been a while.
Ranch dip? I always looked at you as a guy that didn't like white dips. I don't know why. I just assume you didn't like white dips.
I don't particularly, but if people have it out, like I will take some scoops of it. But I don't do it myself.
What is your favorite dip?
I like chips and hummus.
Hummus, yeah.
Just dipping some chips and some hummus or some bread and some hummus. I like that.
Some pita bread?
Yeah,
pita bread and hummus. Warm pita with some hummus. I don't want to say nothing better because there are things better, but that's pretty good.
Okay. What are this or that topics today, Cameron?
All right. So we got
Would you rather have an elite run game?
I asked the question. I just hadn't got to. Okay, so elite run game.
Elite run game of, you know, below average passing game, or an elite passing game.
Okay.
Below average run game. Yeah, what's the better drink? Lemonade, sweet tea. And would you rather get the feeling of watching your favorite movie again for the first time, or your favorite TV show?
Okay.
Sounds good.
We'll play some this or that coming up. Stick with us. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. This. That. This. That. This. That. This. That. This. 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 This.
All right. Are y'all ready to play the debate segment known as this or that?
Yes, I am.
How about you?
I am. Yes. All right. Let's play.
You're in the hole, so.
I'm aware.
No.
I'm aware of my
hole.
No.
Don't go in here thinking that he's in a hole. That way you have to let him win.
He
to
knows
make it
I'm in
win.
A
no.
hole.
Snap and clear. Today is Thursday.
Also, don't let him reverse psychology you with this whole thing he's
I'm
doing.
I'm just making
right
sure
now.
Everybody's on their game.
He's today, a fair judge. He's always a fair judge.
Today is Thursday. Trivia was 2 days ago. He's not in a hole. Let's go.
If there's
this
one thing I know about Cam Black, it's that he's a fair judge. He's a fair judge.
Thank you, Cody.
You're welcome. I'm ready to play.
All right. First up we have elite run game or elite pass game?
Elite pass game. That's how you win in today's football. I would have said elite run game for a long, long time, but you know what? The game has changed. The game has evolved. And with the penalties that now get called on opposing defensive backs, it is harder and harder for them to cover elite receivers. We talked about it yesterday. I'm making a point here.
I just want to ask before we go, are we doing college, NFL, both? What are we doing?
Just
do whatever
football
you
in general.
Do.
Okay.
Do whatever you want to do.
Go ahead.
Do whatever you want to do.
High school.
Do whatever you want to do.
I'll go with high school.
Do whatever you want to do.
Pee-wee football. Go ahead.
Well, peewee football, I'd take the run game if we're talking peewee ball. I think we're talking higher levels of ball here. I'm going to assume we're talking college, NFL, higher levels of ball. Look, we talked about it yesterday. Quarterbacks and elite receivers are the winning model in today's football. Are they not? Quarterbacks and elite receivers, you've got to be able to put up points. Let's look at college. The best teams over the last 2-3 years – Alabama, Clemson, LSU, what do they all have in common? They all have in common a great quarterback and big-time first-round receivers. LSU torched teams last year, put up 50-something points a game, maybe the best team we've ever seen because their pass game could not be stopped. Nobody cared what they did on the ground.
Can I interject here?
I know they had Clyde Edwards-Hilaire.
Can I interject here because you've had your time?
I haven't really had all my time yet. I had more things I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
I'd like to point out Alabama's quarterback and receivers, Tua Tagovailoa, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, first-rounders. Let's look at Clemson, the guys they've had, T. Higgins and Trevor Lawrence. The elite teams have elite quarterbacks and elite wide receivers. You typically forget about their running game. They can have a solid running game, too, but the big passing teams are the teams that win. Same with the NFL. Two best quarterbacks last year, the two best teams coming into this year. Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Pretty much everyone has accepted Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback. I don't think it's a coincidence that they're going to be the team to beat in the NFL over the next 10 years.
You done?
Please continue.
I just want to say that everything Cody said should be thrown out because the stipulation was elite pass game with a below-average run game. He talks about LSU. He talked about Joe Brady. Joe Burrow, you know, pretty good runner himself. And in the national championship game, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire ran for 110 yards on 16 carries. That does not seem like below average to me. LSU had a good running game the entire time. If you're just looking at elite passing and below rushing, that gives you a team like Washington State. And who wants to be like Washington State? Not I, said the fly. So if you're going to have below average of the other and elite
you're taking
me a run game.
You're not taking below average. You're simply flipping my entire argument around to fit your own argument. You're not taking below average. You're taking bottom of the barrel in Washington State. It's an air raid offense. They never run. We didn't say you can only pass or run.
I understand that. I'm simply saying you're pointing at elite teams like Clemson and LSU to prove a point, and you know,
why are they elite?
Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence were pretty good at running the ball. Deshaun Watson when he was at Clemson,
how about this?
LSU had a really good running back. Excuse me, sir. I gave you 5 minutes to talk. Allow me to speak
Ahead and make your point about the 49ers. I'm waiting for it.
Cam, just correct me if I'm wrong. Did LSU not have a running back go in the first round?
They did.
So can we everything you said is a farce and a joke. You do not win if you are elite passing and you can't run the ball. You have to be able to run the ball. You can get by without having elite passing. You want to talk about elite run games and below average passing? I will show you the first two national championships that Alabama won. Elite running, below average passing, didn't matter. They could move the ball
in
whenever they needed to. National champions.
In 2009 and 2011. Right? What year is this? It's 2020.
Give me the
team. You're going to pretend the game hasn't changed in 10 years?
Give me a team that won the national championship without being able to run the ball.
You're going to tell me the game hasn't changed in 10 years?
Give me one.
Everybody runs the ball somewhat.
Everybody
runs the ball somewhat.
Below average.
Here's a team that'll fit your argument. Best running team in the NFL last year, who was it? Please tell me. Who had the most
Team that went 14-2.
Please tell me.
The Baltimore Ravens that went 14-2.
I would say it's the San Francisco 49ers.
The team that made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you know what happened in the Super Bowl? They went up against an elite pass game, and they lost. The elite run game went up against the elite pass game, and the elite pass game won the Super Bowl.
I think you're underestimating
Kansas City's rushing attack. Every team runs
Again,
the ball.
We're looking
great,
at
great
below
point by you. Every team
the
runs
point
the ball.
Is below average. You are missing the whole point of
I'm
the
not
argument.
Missing
this
anything.
Is not passing versus running.
Okay.
This is what can you do if one's elite and the other is below average.
Okay.
And trust
okay.
me,
okay.
you
okay.
want to have okay. the one where you can run the ball because it controls the rest of the game. Having an elite passing attack but not being able to run the ball will eventually get you beat like it has Mike Leach's entire career. That's what
You're
happens.
You're picking out an air raid offense that doesn't run the ball
That's an elite team. That's a team that's elite at passing and below average at running.
When you say below, yes, they're below
that's
average.
That's the point.
They
that's
are as far
argument.
Below the average.
That is
I
the
can
point
get a team
arguing.
Closer to the average. I can get a team
Please
closer to
one.
The average.
Please find one.
Well, let's look at LSU last year, shall we?
Again, first round running back, 110 yards of the national championship. Joe Burrow could run whenever he needed to for big yards.
LSU was seventh in the SEC in rushing last year. 166 yards a game. That's the epitome of average.
So it's not below average, you would agree.
Okay. Okay.
So even at your best, it is not below average. So thank
you. Okay, yeah, yeah. Seventh out of 14 teams. So exactly.
We're running out of time. Yeah. I also want to point out the Chiefs ran for 100. Damian Williams had 104 yards in the Super Bowl.
Where did the Chiefs rank in the NFL in rushing last year?
17 rushes, 104 yards for a touchdown.
Can you tell me where the Chiefs ranked in the NFL in rushing last year?
Only smooth brains think that statistics for season long mean that they can't
do
it.
Yet you've based your entire argument on trying to do statistics. Every argument you base on
not
statistics.
Not for season-long statistics. I'm talking about big games. The teams could run the ball. They had first-round picks.
Look at who wins.
Damian Williams
look
had
at the
17
rings.
Carries for 104 yards.
Mahomes
had 286 yards and two touchdowns. It was the run game that kept him in it. What are you talking about?
And what are you referring to?
In the Super Bowl. Mahomes wasn't good in the Super Bowl. He was 282
he was
yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions. And Damian Williams was 17 carries for 104 yards and a touchdown.
Well, you know who you
the run
you
game
know
kept them afloat. What are you talking about?
You know
about?
How he got there? They got there off the pass game. You know who didn't do that? Jimmy G. And Jimmy G didn't win a Super Bowl.
They also didn't run the ball against the Chiefs.
And your whole Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing, the guy was drafted 32nd.
Yeah, first round pick.
32nd.
First round pick.
I got to go Cody here.
That's absolute nonsense.
Thank you.
That is absolute nonsense. He didn't make one point. His whole point was built around LSU and Clemson, who are both good at running the ball. What are we talking about here?
They're average at running the ball.
The key was below average.
I don't know if you know this.
Below average.
Slightly,
you didn't make one point.
Slightly below average and average are pretty close to the same
point.
Area.
You didn't make one point. That was with the argument.
It's
one
always,
point.
Always the loud
you
guy.
You didn't make one point.
Loud guy always thinks he's right because he's loud.
You didn't make one point about the argument.
Your volume's not helping the results.
You didn't make one point about the argument.
Your volume's...
You didn't make one.
Now you've lowered your voice. It's still not changing the result.
Man, it's fun. The audience knows.
They know. Yeah, they do know.
The audience knows.
They know who won.
All right. Next up, we have sweet tea versus lemonade.
Lemonade's better. Sweet tea's gross.
Okay, that's a good argument, I guess. I'm going to go with sweet tea. I think sweet tea's better. I think lemonade is too sour. Lemonade's too sour. Problem with lemonade, it rarely gets made right. A good lemonade, fantastic. Rarely does it have the right amount of sugar versus the right amount of water versus the right amount of lemon. And when you get too much lemon, nothing worse than a sour lemonade. You know that feeling you get on your teeth from the sour lemonade? Don't like it. Don't like it. So unless you have the perfect lemonade, it's tough. Whereas on a sweet tea, you can get it all. Like, there's different. There's more room for improvement with lemonade than there is sweet tea. As long as it's got some sugar in it, even if it's not too sweet, I like sweet tea. If it is too sweet, I don't like it extremely sweet. I'm just saying that you can get it right easier with sweet tea than you can lemonade. Lemonade, you got to be more perfect to get the right taste. Sweet tea, all you need is sugar and tea.
They're both gross, and people just mix them half and half because both of them suck by themselves.
See, I think Arnold Palmer's are no good, but I like one or the other myself. I like sweet tea or lemonade.
Well, I don't like the Arnold Palmer or the iced tea. Sweet tea, I go with the lemonade.
You do? Didn't you just say they're both gross?
They are both gross. So I'm saying between the two, I don't really drink lemonade either. They're both garbage.
Have you ever gotten a lemonade that's just real, real sour, though?
I don't know.
You just didn't like it all that much because it was so sour?
I've had more lemonade that I've liked than sweet tea. I've never had one sweet tea that I liked.
Too sweet for you, or
I don't know what it is. Enough? It's not even the sweetness; it's just the taste.
Yeah,
it tastes awful. It smells awful. The smell of sweet tea is disgusting. It's very gross.
I'll say another benefit with sweet tea is it has more caffeine, so at least you can, like, some people drink tea instead of coffee. It can get you going a little better than just regular lemonade, which is just sugar and lemons. And again, the sour aspect, I don't like its sourness. The sweet tea, you can get it perfect. It's great on ice, great on a summer day.
Lemonade at least gives you your dose of vitamin C. It's healthier in that respect. It's just vitamins.
Vitamin C?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can get that from other places too.
I'm sure you can, but not from sweet tea.
Maybe not. Although, you could have a lemon wedge with your sweet tea. A lot of people like lemon in the sweet tea, which I actually prefer that.
So you need to take the lemon, squeeze the lemon in the sweet tea. So you need to take a part of lemonade to put in the sweet tea to make it better.
Well, no, just a hint.
I don't put any tea into my lemonade to make it better.
Well, you just said you'd make an Arnold Palmer. You literally just said you would.
I said I don't make those.
You said you would.
No, I didn't.
I think he said he
would. No, I didn't. I said
I think you said they're both gross. You might as well just mix them.
No, I didn't. I said that's gross.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I said most people mix them because they're gross, but that the Arnold Palmer is still gross. I said, but I'll drink lemonade. I do not drink Arnold Palmer. I do not drink anything with tea in it.
Difference in a hint of lemon versus having a half and half it, you know. That's all I'm saying. I like a little caffeine.
So you like putting lemonade in your sweet tea to make it better?
No, no.
That's what it sounded like. You said you put lemons on it.
That's not lemonade. That's a little hint.
An ingredient of
lemon.
An ingredient of lemonade.
Yeah, it's also got water in it.
The main part of it. It's like lemonade. Lemon.
It's also water and sugar.
Lemon. Lemonade. You put lemon in your sweet
tea. Comes down to, do you prefer sour or do you prefer a nice tea? I like to read the tea.
I got to go, John, here. I don't think you really made any points, Dave, but...
You
put a lemon in your sweet tea.
I don't
you put
think
half
that's...
of his thing.
The key here is just not to make good points, and you win apparently. So that's the key to this game with this judge.
TV show or movie? First time.
No matter what happens, it's going to come down to what Cam likes. That's essentially what it is. Movies. I mean, the first time I watched The Avengers, man, my life changed forever, and I wish I could just relive that on repeat. There is nothing like going to the movie theater. They don't have a TV theater. You go to the movie theater, you're strapped in with all your friends, and man, when those superheroes come across the screen, and you just remember the first time you saw Iron Man and Captain America and the boys, and now the Black Panther's in it, and you're like, my God, I wish I could just inject this into my veins to feel over and over and over again. Movies, for sure. My favorite movie, The Avengers. Very important. Nothing's ever made me feel as good as that.
Boy, you kind of boxed me in on that one, didn't you? I got to go TV show. I've long said the way Game of Thrones made me feel for the first time, the way that The Sopranos made me feel for the first time, to actually get invested into the television show and to be able to follow that character depth throughout season after season after season, you get more attached to your characters, and to me that's more of an emotional connection than simply one movie, and unless you had a series of movies. But for this particular argument, isn't it just one movie?
Yeah, I'm just going with The Avengers.
Just
the
one
movie, The Avengers, yeah.
Right, so that doesn't include all the other movies.
No, I'm just
right?
talking about just... my favorite movie, The Avengers.
I understand what you're saying.
Cinematic classic, and how happy it makes me feel every time I see it.
I don't think you love it for the Avengers. I think you love it for all the movies.
The thing about the TV...
Which is more like a TV show when you think about it with the character depth over several.
The thing about the TV shows would be like, when you're saying your first time, is it like the first time you watch the show or like the 45th time you've watched an episode and like you have the same feeling? Like it's just, you have that feeling for years. You don't want that. You just want the one euphoric feeling. You want the immediate high of a 2-hour and 30-minute ride of your favorite movie just hitting you on that big screen.
I like
I said, keep in mind, they don't have TV
I like
theaters.
To be a little more spaced out. I like to get my high over a period of time, which is what TV shows and movie franchises, for that matter, would do for you.
Yeah, including my favorite movie.
But not one singular movie.
Nah,
so when you're thinking,
one,
when you're thinking 23
you
movies, I think you got to categorize
the
that more with like TV show, wouldn't you? Because that's more of a long-term... I know they're movies, but it's more of a long-term thing.
Those are movies.
When you really think about it, it's...
So really the movies can do everything the TV shows did, if you think about it.
No,
so really, TV
shows
are kind of pointless when you look at it that way. That's not a bad point, but that wasn't really the argument.
No.
It was more just about favorite movies versus favorite TV shows.
I don't think so. I don't think
and
that's
what
you...
About,
I think God Cam knows you were trying to pander to him and that the Avengers are not really your favorite movie.
I love it.
No, you don't.
Don't tell me what I do and don't love.
I'm just
the feeling
I
of
know,
watching that the first
I know
time.
That you don't love it.
I wish I could shoot it into my veins every morning before I wake up.
Just because you're pandering doesn't mean. I mean,
the
I,
feeling
I,
of watching your favorite movie is special. It's something that sticks with you.
I could say the same thing about a TV show.
No, you can't.
I just did.
You didn't say those same things at all. You said you like character depth.
I do like character depth.
You didn't say anything about the same things I just said. So don't say you did.
Don't say you like the Avengers.
I love the Avengers.
You're lying.
I'm not.
I think you are.
Okay. I guess we've made our points. Cam?
We're in disagreement.
I gotta go with John here. He did describe the movie feeling very well there.
Yeah.
I can basically visualize
Cam is the
that
worst
myself.
Judge ever. The most unfair judge I've ever seen.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. You wanna check the poll? Got 1,400 votes in. On the when you want the most this year for Tennessee. At Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama, at Georgia. 1,425 votes. Have you seen the results, Cody?
I have not, but I'm assuming Alabama's winning.
Alabama is winning.
Naturally.
Coming in with an impressive 46% of the votes. Almost, I mean, I guess you could... say that if it was Alabama versus the field, it would be, you know, pretty close. That maybe shouldn't be surprising to me, but it kind of is. Florida coming in second place, Cody, 37%. Georgia, 10%. Oklahoma, 7%. Those numbers surprise you at all? The discrepancy?
No, not too much. Not too much.
I'm surprised more people didn't vote Georgia. 10%. Like, are we not chasing Georgia right now?
Yeah, we are, but I mean...
Am I wrong for thinking that Georgia, Tennessee, like, that Georgia kind of equaled or nudged ahead of Florida in terms of hate recently?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I never really thought that.
Okay. I mean, I did.
I think that I think some people did. I just don't know that that was ever really. I mean, because Florida's been terrorizing us for years.
I know. I understand.
Georgia's the team you're chasing now. Georgia's better. I get that, but they're still not as hated. I don't think as Florida. I think oddly enough, we all kind of look at Georgia as underachievers, even though that they. Are definitely achieving wins over us.
Yeah, but I definitely don't want Georgia to win a national championship.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
I think we do have to worry about it each year. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's a you know, that's their goal this year. They're going to be in the top six or seven preseason at least, and they are going to have a chance to win a national championship.
Yeah, I think Kirby sucks pretty bad. So I'm not too worried about it.
Okay. Cam, you surprised by those numbers?
Not really. A little bit at Georgia, but also I kind of understand, like, most of the people.
Yeah, just like
it's different from my perspective, I'd say, so.
Like, if you just look Georgia versus Oklahoma, there's only a 3% difference. Like,
yeah,
that's
a little surprising.
That's surprising to me.
I think Oklahoma's clearly the one you probably wouldn't want the most. So, yeah, I did expect a little bit of bigger of a gap there, but it doesn't surprise me that Bama and Florida are winning.
Sheridan writes in, says, although it's got the lowest votes, I'm going with Oklahoma. It's early in the season, and that big of a win at Norman will get the team hyped to show out the rest of the season. I like that line of thinking. Dexter writes in, he's going with Oklahoma because it'll be a national stage and will build up the hype for the rest of the seasons. If you lose the first three but beat Georgia, it puts us back in the next year as the year mindset. It puts us back thinking that. Yeah, I mean, if you lose those three before Georgia, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, if you win one of the other three and then you beat Georgia, then you have a chance for a really, really good season. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, right? I mean, if you go 1-3, those first – one of three, 1-2, those first three games,
mm-hmm.
and then you beat Georgia at the end, I mean, that sets up 10-2. That sets up a Sugar Bowl, right? Maybe even the East.
Probably would, yeah.
Nah, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you would win the East because you could lose to Florida, beat Georgia, and still lose the East, as BK writes in. That could still happen. It doesn't guarantee you anything just by beating Georgia, but it would put you in a pretty good position, most likely. I guess maybe my mindset has changed just so drastically from Alabama. I don't know. Them being a West opponent and me not viewing them as the clear-cut alpha anymore, I think has swayed my opinion, Cody, and had me voting against Alabama. Am I wrong in thinking that? That they're no longer the clear-cut alpha of the SEC?
I think they are. I think they still are. I don't think Kirby can beat Saban.
Clear-cut, though? I mean, like, or I guess the far and away favorite?
They're not far away. I mean, Georgia's just as good as them, probably talent-wise by now. But
LSU beat them last year, gets them at home this year, and we acknowledge that LSU was having a special season, and I don't know if that'll translate and spill over, but
Alabama's no longer just supremely talented compared to like Georgia and LSU.
Would you be surprised if Alabama went 12-0 this year?
No.
I would be.
I would not be.
I would be surprised if they went 12-0.
They're going to beat Georgia because they play Georgia week 3 at home.
Yep.
Georgia's breaking in a new quarterback. Jamie, whoever their quarterback. Alabama's going to beat Georgia in Tuscaloosa.
Cam,
so once they do that,
go ahead.
I think they're going undefeated. LSU's not going to beat them. Nothing tells me LSU can beat them. They lost Joe Burrow. Who's throwing the ball to Ja'Marr Chase, you know? They can't. I don't think – and they get Auburn and Tuscaloosa again. So, yeah, I think they're going 12-0.
Cam, would you be surprised if Alabama went 12-0?
I don't think surprised would be the word. But I'm definitely not expecting them to go 12-0.
They do get Texas A&M at Tuscaloosa as well.
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, Texas A&M.
Well, I'm just saying that's a team at least that's getting more talent. Like they're recruiting and they got a national championship coach. And I know we don't think Jimbo's as good as we did a couple years ago, but if that game was at Texas A&M, I would give them a puncher's chance. I mean, by increasing talent, but maybe. Maybe they're a year away of getting rid of Kellen Mond, who is good but is not going to win big games type of thing.
Yeah.
And getting a different quarterback in there. But, yeah, like they finish the season, LSU on the road after a bye week, UT Martin, Texas A&M, Auburn, all three at home.
I mean, they might slip up somewhere. Like a lot of times Alabama will slip. They'll give you one. They might go 11-1. I would be shocked if they were worse than 11-1.
Are we their best chance for a loss?
No.
I'm taking the schedule into account as well.
I know.
Who's their best chance for a loss?
Georgia.
Week three?
Georgia, maybe LSU.
See, I don't think they're going to lose LSU just because it's coming off a bye week.
I don't think they are either.
I think they have a bye week ahead of LSU. I don't think they're losing that week.
But if you're asking their best chance for a loss, I think it's one of them.
Okay. Like I said, maybe I'm
being... I don't think we can beat them. We're just...
I just wonder what they're looking at when they look at the schedule because, I mean, Georgia, sure, that's a big game. It's at home. You know, Georgia's the best team on their schedule, obviously.
Yeah.
But that, I just look and say that we're coming off a bye week. They're on their eighth game in a row. And that was kind of the situation in 2015 when we almost went to Tuscaloosa and beat them, except this time it's going to be in Knoxville.
Yeah, I like that.
And we played them pretty well last year, and Jeremy Pruitt knows Nick Saban. And, you know, there's just some familiarity there.
I would like to think we give them a game. I just don't – I mean, I don't think we're ready to beat them.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, that's fine.
I would think there's a much greater chance of us beating Florida.
I'm just looking at Alabama's side. I think there's a much greater chance we beat Florida than Alabama as well. But I'm just looking at their schedule. When you look at Auburn and A&M both being at Bryant-Denny, Georgia being at Bryant-Denny, LSU coming off of a bye week. I just didn't know if they're. I didn't know how Alabama fans felt looking. Like, they're not really scared of USC week one. They're making their Georgia State jokes about Tennessee in week two. Because they play Georgia State week two.
Yeah.
But like I said, we are their eighth game in a row on Saturday, October 24th, and we'll be coming off a bye week.
So it's fun to make the case.
But you still go with Georgia as their most likely loss?
Yeah, and I don't think it's likely. I think they will go 12-0.
You want to put it on the board?
Do you think it's more likely they go 10-2 or 12-0? What would be more shocking to you?
I would say it's more likely that they go... I guess I'm saying it's more likely they would go 12-0 just because getting two losses there would be tough when three of their biggest games are all at home and the LSU game's after a bye week. And I don't have a lot of confidence in LSU this year. I don't even know who the hell LSU's quarterback is. Who is their quarterback?
Miles Brennan.
Is he like a 4 or 5-star guy getting his first shot?
He was a 4-star.
Burrow beat him out, didn't he?
Okay, so he's a guy getting his first shot, though. We've never seen him play. He's not a grad transfer.
He's played. He's played at LSU some.
Okay.
Has he?
I just don't have any confidence in LSU right now. Hold on. But
He was a 4-star, number 6 pro, 152 nationally when he came out in 2017.
So if you want to put it on the board, Cody, Alabama losses over under 1, and we'll call 1 a tie, I'd be willing to do that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. I go under 1.
You going under 1?
I'll take over 1. I'll give Crimson Cody a chance to root for his tie.
So 1 is a tie.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I don't think that has happened besides last year. Before last year, I don't think they had lost more than one game in the regular season since 2010.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that is a true.
I think it'll be a push, but I'll give you a chance to root for your Crimson Tide.
Thanks. That's all I really want in life.
Last call of the weekend coming up next.